B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Ayin Beis. We're going to start from the fourth last of the narrow lines on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, Omar Rachba Omar of Yehuda, Hamekarea Big Day Kohuna, if somebody tears one of the Big Day Kohuna, one of the clothes that the Kohanim would wear to do the Avodah, Loika, his Chayiv Malkus, he transgressed the law in the Torah, Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, V'hoya fi roishoy, b'soichoy, Sofa ye lefiv, soviv maisa erika fitachro ye loy yikorea. The pasuk says you're not allowed to. They would make a hem around the where the neck, where the head of the kohen would go through the garment, and that hem would make sure that loy yikorea, that it would not tear. So you see that there's a lav in the Torah to tear it. Maske flor of Acha bar Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov asked a question on this. V'dil mahachi kamar. Maybe the Torah only meant to say. Make a hem around where the opening is, in order that it shouldn't tear. But where do you see in the Torah that the Torah is telling you that you mustn't tear it, and if you tear it, you'll get Malkus? Answers the Gemara, Miksiv, the Torah doesn't say in order that it shouldn't tear. The Torah says, make sure it doesn't tear. Don't tear it. Continues the Gemara, Vomer Belozo. Hamaziach, somebody who loosens the choishen, the breastplate, me'alo ephod, from the ephod on to which the choishen was tied, v'hamesir, or somebody who removes badei ha'orin, the poles of the orin, in either of these cases, loike, he's going to be chayev malchus. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, v'yirkusu es ha'choishen mita b'oisov, el tabois ha'ephod, b'fsil t'cheles, li'ois al'cheshev ha'ephod, that it says there the choishen was tied onto the ephod, lo yizach, that it should not get loosened from the, should not get detached from the ephod. The choishen should be firmly fixed to the ephod when it's at all times. And there's another pasuk that says, "Batabois ha'orin, in the rings on the orin, yiyu abadim, the poles should be there. Lo yosuru mimenu, they should not depart from there. They should stay there all the time." So you see that somebody who either loosens the choishen from the ephod, or removes the poles of the orin, is chayev malchus. Again, maskev lor vacha bar Yaakov, v'dilma, maybe, kikom arachmona, maybe the Torah just said, chodkinu, tighten it, vavdinu shapir, and make sure it's there, well positioned, kadei shelo yizach, in order that the choishen shouldn't get loose, v'lo yasur, and that the poles shouldn't come away from the orin. But does it say there that if you loosen it or remove the poles, you'll be get chayev malchus? Answers the Gemara again, miksev, shelo yizach v'shelo yosuru. It doesn't say in the pasuk, in order that the choishen shouldn't get loose, or in order that the sticks shouldn't come out. It says, don't loosen them, don't take them out. If you do, it'll be chayev malchus. Continues the Gemara, b'yesi b'rab chanina romi. He asked an apparent contradiction. Ksiv, it says in one pasuk, b'taba'ois ha'orin yu abadim lo yosuru mimenu, that the poles should be inside the rings of the orin and should never be departed from them. Or seven, another pasuk, it says, "Veheveso es abadim betabois," and you should insert the poles into the rings. And okay, there's a discussion exactly where this pasuk is talking about, but it says there that if you can insert the poles into the rings, it must be that they are movable. And I don't understand. You're first saying they should be fixed there and they should never move, and then you're saying insert them, which seems to mean that they can be taken in and out. Ha ketzad. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? How do we understand this? Says the Gemara, misparkin ve'ein nishmotim. The poles indeed are loose in the rings, but they are not. But they do not come out from the rings. The heads of the poles were made wider than the rest of the pole. They were forced into the rings. Once they were forced in, they were not easily removed, and the poles could move forwards and backwards, but they would not be easily removed, and it was also to remove them. Tanina Meochi, we also saw this in a Braisa, but Tabo Yisorin Yu Abadim, that the poles should be in the rings. Yoche Loyu Zozin Mimikoimon, I may have thought they're not allowed to budge at all, not allowed to move at all. Talmud Leimat says in the Pasuk V'huva es badov betabois, that the poles can actually be inserted and moved in the rings. V'huva es badov, if so, Yochel, I may have thought, you nichnosim v'yotzim, you're actually allowed to take the poles in and out. Talmud leimano, betabois ha'orin yu abadim, that the poles should be in the rings, lo yosur mimenu, don't remove them. Ha'oketzad, misporkin ve'enishmatim, they could move, they were loose, but they would not be able to be removed and were not allowed to be removed. Continues the Gemara, Omer Choma Rabbi Chanina, Ma'idich Sivit says in the Pasuk, Vasiso es akroshim la mishkon, you should make the beams for the mishkon, atzei shittim from cedar wood, oimdim standing. What does this word standing teach us? Says Rabbi Choma, sh'oimdim derech gediloson, they should be standing in the same way as they were grown. The part that was higher up on the tree, that should be the higher part of the beam. The lower part of the tree should be the lower part of the beam. Dova Acher, another explanation. Oimdim, what does oimdim mean? Shema'amidim, they were supporting es tzipuyon. They would support the gold plating that was put onto these beams, and they were supported either by nails that were nailed into the wooden beams, or that the beams would not become wormy, and that way the gold plating would not fall off. Dova Achir, another explanation, says the Gemara, what does oimdim mean? Oimdim means that they stand. Shemo toima, you may say, that now after the beams of the Mishkan had been hidden away, we don't know where they are today. The Mishkan is hidden, is nignaz. I may have thought, ovad sivron, ubot al sikuyon, there's no more promise, that means there's no future for them, and there's no hope of ever seeing them, or of no hope for them. Talmud leima, oimdim, sha'oimdim lo'oilom lo'oilomim, that the beams of the Mishkan are going to survive and are going to exist forever. Omer Rabbi Chomer Bar Chanina, Ma'idich Sivit says in the Pasuk, Es bigdei hasrod l'shoris ba'kodesh, Es bigdei ha'kodesh l'aron ha'kohen, Es bigdei vonov l'chayin, that the bigdei kahuna were called bigdei hasrod. What does this word srod mean? Lisrod normally means to survive. But what does it mean? Says the Gemara, Il mole bigdei kahuna, if not for the bigdei kahuna, which only because of the bigdei kahuna and through the bigdei kahuna, the kohenim could do the avodah, bring the korbanos, and Klal Yisrael will receive atonement. If that wouldn't be possible, lo nishtayer, there would be no remains misoneim shel Yisrael, from the enemies of Klal Yisrael, which is an elegant way of referring to Klal Yisrael, just we don't want to say it in that many words, that there wouldn't be no remaining sorid or polit, no remnant or survivor from Klal Yisrael, if not for the fact that Bigdei Kohuna, which allowed the Kohanim to bring those necessary korbonis. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeini Omar says a different explanation. Why are these bigdei kohuna called srod? The Bei Reb Shimon Tana, because in the academy and the yeshiva of Reb Shimon, they learned the following. Begodim, these bigdei kohuna, they were clothes, shegurdin oisai, they would cut it off the loom, mikleim. The gurdin oisai kubriyason mikleim, that they were woven on the loom exactly to size. They didn't need to afterwards be cut and shaped and sized. Rather, they were woven on the loom in the right size, and umesardin mehem, and that's why it's called bigdei asrod, that there's a part of the bigdei kohuna were actually left over, mehen umesardin mehem klum, and some part of this bigdei kohuna was not woven with the rest of it, and that part was woven independently and then sewn onto the main body of this cloth. Maihi, what is that? Vishlom kishama elu maise machat, this is referring to some sewing, needlework, some sewing, that there was a part of the bigdei kahuna that was woven independently and then sewn onto the garment. Meisvei, bigdei kahuna ein oisin oisin maise machat. How can you say that the reason they're called bigdei asrod is because part of the clothes was left over, srod means to leave over, was left over, and was actually sewn onto the garment? Does it not say in the Braisa that the bigdei kohuna, they were not done with sewing? Elo maisa oireg, they were only done with weaving. Shneimer, as it says in the Pasuk, maisa oireg. So how can you, Rosh Lakish, say that the part that was left over was sewn? Omar Abaya, Abaya says, lenitzrecho elo lebeis yad shelehem. It's only talking about the sleeves, that the sleeves indeed, they would be woven independently and then they would just be sewn on. That means the actual garment was woven, not sewn. Kudetanya, as we saw in the Braisa, beis yad shel bigdei kohuna, the sleeves of the bigdei kohuna, ne'ereges bifnei atzmo, it was woven on its own, not with the rest of the garment. V'nidbekes im abeged, and then it was attached to the to the beged, how was it attached? It was attached, it was sewn on. Umagas, and the sleeves would reach ad pisas hayad, until the palms of the hand. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rochba, Omar Rav Yehuda. Shaloish aroinois oso betzalil. Betzalil made three arks, that means the oroin in which the luchos were kept and the Sefer Torah that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was actually made of three boxes. Emtsoi, the middle box, shel eitz, was made of wood. Tisha, the height of it from the outside was 9 tfochim high, was including the tefach base plus the walls going up. Another 8 tfochim was a 9 tfochim high. Pnimi, the inner box, shel zov, was from gold. Shmoina was 8 high because the base of the gold box didn't take up any space, or hardly any, nothing, it was completely negligible. And so the box was a total of 8 tfachim high, was placed inside the wooden box. Chitzo, in the outer box, was also of gold, was asara, umashahu. It was 10 tfachim and a bit. The base, again, was hardly anything. They would put the 9 tefach box inside it. Then it would protrude the tefach to cover of the of the oroin, which was the kapoires, that was a tefach high, and that would be covered over by the side of the walls of the outermost box, and then there would be a little bit of mashu left over. Votanya asked the Gemara, did you not learn in a braisa, echad asar mashu, the outer box was 11 tfachim and a bit? Says the Gemara, lo kasha, if that's the case, ha command oma yesh ba'ovi tefach, in some place there's a machlekas, Rashi doesn't know where, but in some place there's a machlekas whether the bottom of the oroin had a thickness in and of its own of a tefach. If so, it was the extra tefach, it was 11 tefachim. And ha command oma in ba'ovi tefach, and the opinion that says that it was just 10 tefachim high holds that the opinion that the width of the floor of the base, the bottom of the oroin, was not the tefach. Umay mashu, this extra mashu that was sticking up beyond the cover of the oroin, zer, that was the crown of, that was a type of a crown on the oroin. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yechanan says, Shloisha zerim hein, there were three crowns in the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, shel mizbeach, on the mizbeach, there was a crown going round it, Bashel Oroin, and the Oroin also, as we just discussed now, had a little crown round it, Bashel Shulchan, and the Shulchan, the plate on which the Lechem Aponim, the table, sorry, on which the Lechem Aponim was sitting, also had a crown. Shel Mizbeach, the Mizbeach, which is where the Korbonis were brought, and Aaron HaKoyen is the one that was responsible, the Shevet HaKoyenim were responsible for the Korbonis, for the Kuhuna that was given to Aaron HaKoyen and his descendants. So Aaron was deserving of the Keser Kuhuna mentioned in the Mishnah in Ovis, which is alluded to by this crown on the Mizbeach. V'notloi, and Aaron took it. Shel Shulchan Zocha David V'notloi. David HaMelech merited the Malchus, the Keser Malchus, David HaMelech merited, and the Shulchan, which represented rich, we've learned about this earlier, that the Horeitze Sheyashir, he should face the Shulchan, Yatzbin, that the Shulchan, which had a lot of bread on it, alluded to riches, which was proper for a king. V'shel Orin, and the crown on the Orin, which is the Keser Torah, Adayin Munach, it's still there. Adayin Munach, Hu Koloreitze Likach, Yovi V'yikach. Anybody who wants to merit the crown of Torah can take it. Shema Toimer, are you going to say, Pochosu, that this crown is inferior to the others, it hasn't been given to anyone specific, and it's still lying there? No, Talmud Loima, it says, B, the Torah is saying that it's through me that Melochim Yimloichu, that kings reign. And who's dependent on who? The smaller is always dependent on something bigger. If the kings are dependent on Torah, it seems that the Torah is even greater than the kings. The kings only have value and power if they follow the Torah and keep the Torah. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yechanan asked, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Zor. The word Zer, which is the crown, it's actually not written with a yud, it's written just Zayin Resh. Zor means strange when you read it. When you actually, if you just look at the letters without the punctuation, the Korinon, but when we actually read it, we read it Zer as a crown. So is it a crown or is it strange? There seems to be two opposites. A crown is something very significant and important, and being estranged is almost the opposite. Says the Gemara, Zacha, if he merits, Nasis Loizeir, then the Torah will be a crown for him. Loizacha, However, if you don't merit, you don't learn Torah properly, you don't keep the Torah, then the Torah will actually be Zara Imenu, will become strange to him and will estrange him. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yechanan asked an apparent contradiction. Ksivit says in the Pasuk, V'asisa l'cha, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you Moshe Rabbeinu, you should make Aron 8, this Aron, of which the middle one was made of wood. Uchsiv, in another Pasuk it says, V'asu Aron atzei shetim, and they made the Aron, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Gemara, Mikan, from here you see the Talmud Chochem. Regarding a Talmud Chochem, even though there's something which is incumbent upon him to do, but the townspeople are required to help him do it because he is engaged in Torah learning and therefore many of his duties are done by others. The townspeople of a Talmud Chacham are required to do what a Talmud Chacham would need to do that would take him away from his learning. Continues the Gemara. The Pasuk says, Mibayis umichutz tetzapenu. The Orion was coated in gold from the inside and the outside. And we know, because the inside box was gold, the outside box was gold, and the top of the wooden box was also covered with a gold covering the kapoires. It was completely, whichever way you looked at it, it was gold. Omar Rava. Rava says, since we said that the Orin is alluding to the Keser Torah, Kol Talmud Chacham, so too every Talmud Chacham, She'in Teichi Kabari, that his inside is not as pure as the way he's behaving, the way he's portraying on the outside, Ein a Talmud Chacham is not a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham has to be true to the Torah values through and through. Continues the Gemara. Omar Abayevi Teimer Rabba Barula. Nikra Nitav, somebody who's a Talmud Chacham, whose inside and his externals are not in sync, is called loathsome. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, it's a Pasuk in Iyov, Af ki nisav, because surely he is loathsome, vanelach, and tainted, a person ish, such a person, which is shoyse kamayim avla, who drinks iniquity like water. And what it means over here in this context, that somebody is drinking water of Torah whilst having iniquity, whilst not being through and through a Talmud Chacham, that's something which is very loathsome and tainted. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer of Yonason. Maidich Siv, it says in the Pasuk in Mishli, Lomo ze mechir, why is there money biyad ksil in the hands of a fool? Liknais chokhmah, to acquire wisdom. V'leiv oyen, he doesn't have a good heart. What does that mean? Oy lohem l'soinim shel tamidei chachomim. Woe to those who are the enemies of tamidei chachomim. Sha'oiskim b'teira, that they are engaged in teira, which is liknais chokhmah. V'ein b'miras shemayim, but they don't have fear of Hashem. That's which is something in the heart. They don't have the heart. Machrez Rabbi Yana used to call out, Chaval, woe, Aldelesle Darta. He doesn't have a courtyard, he doesn't have Yirah Shemaim. V'tara l'darte, but the gateway into the courtyard, which is Torah, of it he makes for himself. Because the main part of Torah is only in order to come to Yirah Shemaim. To be engaged in Torah when you don't have Yirah Shemaim, then that woe to such a person. Omalu Rava l'Rabbanon, the Rava said to the Chachomim, "B'matosu minaychu, I beg of you, loytirton tarti gehenem, don't acquire gehenem in both worlds. Don't engage in Torah whilst not being true to Torah values, because that way when you come to the next world, you'll get punished. You'll have gehenem because you didn't keep the Torah. In this world, you didn't even enjoy yourself with worldly matters because you were engaged in Torah. So you didn't enjoy this world and you get punished in the next world. Don't do that." Continues the Gemara, Omer Bishua ben Levi, Maidach Siv, it says in the Pasuk, V'zois ha-Torah, this Torah, Ashesom Moshe, the word som with a sin means put, Moshe Rabbeinu put lifnei b'nei Yisrael before Klal Yisrael. So the word som can also be read with sum as written with a samach, which is a drug. Zocha, if he's zoicha, if he merits, then Nasis, the Torah will be for him, Nasis loy sam chaim, a drug of life. Loy zocha, however, if he doesn't merit and he doesn't learn Torah properly, Nasis loy sam misa, Torah will actually become for him a drug of death. V'hainu d'omar Rava, that's what Rava said, that d'umon lo, if one uses Torah and learns Torah skillfully, sama d'chaya, will be a drug of life. D'loy umon lo, if one does not learn Torah skillfully and in the right way, Samo de Moisa, it will become a poison, it will become a poison, a drug of death. Omer Reb Shmuel ben Achmeini, Rabbi Yonasan Rami. Rabbi Yonasan asked an apparent contradiction. Ksiv in one pasuk it says, "Pekudei Hashem, the orders of Hashem, Yesharim are upright, Masam Chelev, they gladden the heart." So you see that Torah is all about Simcha. Uchsiv in another pasuk it says, "Imras Hashem, the words of Hashem, Tsrufa, they smelt," which seems to be on the opposite. It seems to be that it's pain, it's punishment, and very much the opposite of Simcha. Says the Gemara, no. Zacha, if he merits and learns Torah right, Mesam Chosoi, Torah will make him, will gladden him. Lo Zacha, if not, Seraftoi, then the Torah is going to be his, the cause of his downfall. He's going to get Yisurim and challenges and possibly punished. Rish Lakish Omar. Rish Lakish says, Megufi Dekra Nafka. From the very Pasuk, Imras Hashem Tzrufa, we can learn that. You don't even need the contradiction for that. Zacha, if he merits, Tzrafosoi Lechaim. Then the Torah will smelt him, will mold him into eternal life. Lo Zacha, if he's not Zacha, then Tzrafosoi Lemise will smelt him to death. Continues the Gemara. Continuing with the Psukim there. It says, Yiras Hashem Tahira, the fear of Hashem, Tahira, when it's pure, Oimedes Lo'ad stands and endures forever. Omer of Chanina, Zeh Aloyme Tahira B'Tahira, this is talking about somebody who's learning Tahira with purity, and such a person, Oimedes Lo'ad. Maihi, what does it mean? What type of person learns Tahira with a pure mind? Is somebody who's Noisa Isha V'Achach Le'me Tahira, he marries as early as possible and only then continues his life of learning Tahira. And that way his mind can stay completely pure from any wandering to the wrong places, and he can learn Tahira with a pure mind. Continues the Gemara. Eidus Hashem Ne'emono, the testimony of Hashem is Ne'emono, is trustworthy. Omar of Chia bar Abba, Ne'emonohi, the Torah is Ne'emon, is trustworthy, Lehe'ed, to testify B'loim Deo, about the people who are learning it. The Torah will testify who's keeping the Torah and its values and who isn't. Now coming back to Big Day Kuna, says the Gemara, in one pasuk it says, V'asisa mosoch lepesach ha'oyel, tcheles argomon, v'tilas shoni, v'sheish morzon maisei roikim. The curtains were made maisei roikim, which is embroidery. And then in another pasuk it says, "Vasisa poreches tcheles argomon tilas shoni v'sheish morzor maisei choishev." Maisei choishev seems to be a type of designer work, not embroidery work. Omer Belozer, Belozer says, "I'll explain to you. It's not a contradiction. Sheroikmin b'mokim shechoishvin. They would first design. They would paint. They would draw the design onto the material, and then they would embroider the image with a work of embroidery." Tana Mishmeidreb Nechemia. Roikim, he explains that when it says embroidery, it means maise machat. It means that when you sew, which is something which is the work done with a needle, and then you go straight through from one side to the next, and then you always have the same image on both sides of the curtain, both sides of the material, just one is a reflection, so to speak, of the other one. One is mirroring the other because it's back to back, but it's the same image. Lefikoch paratzofecho, therefore there was only one face. That means that the curtains that were made, maiseroikim, there was only a single face that was a mirror image on the other side. Choyshev, but when it says maise choyshev, what does that mean? That's maise oirik, that means embroidery. And typically the way they would embroider is that they would embroider an image on one, on that would be a doubled over piece of material. On one side they would embroider one image, a lion for example, and the other side may have been an eagle, and then there were different faces on different sides of the curtain. Lefikach shnei paratzufos, there were two faces on the curtain that was made with maisei choishev. Maisei choishev is maisei oireg, is weaving, and that's typically how they used to weave. And Emir Tashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.